Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio. With us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Department of Sincere Gratitude here at Car Talk Plaza.
Yeah, and the grateful one in this case is a listener named George McDermott. He wrote to us the following. Dear Click and Clack, 6 years ago, I answered a question on your website which asked, if I were a car, what make and model would I be? To make a long story short, a wonderful girl from Shreveport, Louisiana, emailed me through your site. We fell in love and have now decided to get married. Nice, huh?
Oh, congratulations. That's great. Congratulations to both of you.
Yeah,
George.
Well, hang on. Uh-huh. We haven't gotten to the gratitude yet.
Oh, okay.
Inasmuch as you two are responsible for our future together, we feel it is only fair that we invite you to our wedding, which will be held in Palm Beach next month.
That's very nice of them, but I'm kind of tied up. I have plumbers coming, I think, that morning.
Well, wait, there's more.
Uh-huh.
We would be most delighted if you two would honor us with your presence. Mm-hmm. Please RSVP on the back of a 32-inch Sony Bravia LCD TV with 7,000-to-1 dynamic contrast ratio, Bravia engine, full digital video processing, and built-in NTSC and ATSC/QAM tuners. Sincerely, sort of, George McDermott, Jupiter, Florida.
That's gratitude, huh? Wow!
I thought that was brilliant. I wonder if he's really getting married. He just made the whole thing up.
Who knows? If you have a question about your car or your wedding invitations, give us a call at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227.
I have to say, we deserved it. We deserved it.
We indeed did. What's
the number?
888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Kelly from San Antonio.
Hi, Kelly. How are
Kelly.
You?
I'm doing excellent, thanks.
Is the Alamo still there?
You know what it is, and people still ask why they built the Alamo around downtown.
Yeah, well, you know, many years ago. I hate to
get this. You've started my brother on a slippery slope. He's going to get himself into a lot of trouble, and I just want to go on record as saying I don't agree with a single thing he's going to tell you.
Oh,
well,
no.
many years ago.
Even though he talked me into it once.
When Davy Crockett, I think, was still alive, I actually lived in San Antonio. And I went and visited the Alamo because I was surprised to find out it was right downtown. And I said, geez, that's kind of unusual that it's right downtown.
Yeah. Oh, no.
And I remember reading a plaque that said that the Alamo had been moved to make it more accessible to tourists because it was located like 20 miles, and brick by brick, they moved it. Of course, everyone I've spoken to since has denied this. And I did mention it on the air, and I guess I'm mentioning it on the air again.
And I believed him for a brief time.
I was positive they had moved the Alamo. And I even, if I'm not mistaken, confronted the city council.
And we actually came down there to San Antonio one time for something.
We did a live show in Lila Cockrell Auditorium.
Oh, that's right. We did. And one night, we sneaked over to the Alamo. My brother ties a rope around the front door. And we start trying to pull it back. Where it used to be, he said to me.
Those Texas Rangers. Those Texas Rangers didn't take too kindly.
There it was, midnight, dark as can be, and there we are with a rope tied to the Alamo, and we got caught.
Anyway.
So I'm not believing anything my brother says again.
Anyway, do we answer your question, Kelly?
What was the question?
Well, I have an ongoing dispute with my fiancé. I'm hoping I can get some counseling advice with.
Ah.
Well, I have a 99 Plymouth Breeze. My question is about the gas mileage that my car is getting. My fiancé purchased one of those seat cover back massagers for the car because we go on long trips from San Antonio up to Iowa where my parents are from. And he plugs it into the cigarette lighter and uses it for like 4 or 5 hours at a time. And it apparently warms his back and everything that he could ever dream of. And the car gas mileage, I swear, gets worse and worse every hour that he uses it.
Well, he's feeling so good, he's driving faster and faster. So you think that this device is sucking so much power through that skinny little wire from the cigarette lighter that it's actually affecting the mileage of your 3,000-pound car?
Well, I'm hoping you can tell me I'm right. I think you're
right on, Kelly.
How much has it changed the gas mileage?
Well, you know what I did? I even calculated the figures. It went from about 22 miles a gallon when the massager was running to about 28 miles a gallon when it wasn't running.
Are you driving the car when it's not running?
Yeah.
In other words, he's the only one who's using the massager. Does he have it on whether he's the passenger or the driver?
No, he just has it on when he's a driver. But to tell you the truth, he drove the whole way from Texas to Iowa.
Yeah. But my brother's getting at is it's possible that what you're seeing is not the difference between having this thing on and not having it on, but the difference between your driving style and his driving style. And I'm with my brother all the way on that one.
It might be he's a lead foot. He might be zooming away from every stop. He might be driving faster than you. And 5 miles an hour faster, believe it or not, could be the difference between 28 and 22.
Oh, really?
It sure could.
Because it certainly is not the back massager.
It isn't?
No.
It certainly is not.
You have to tell me it is.
No, because, I mean, that thing draws so little power.
Mm-hmm. The engine doesn't even know it.
It doesn't even, right. I'd be surprised if it would affect your gas mileage.
1 mile per gallon.
A hundredth of a mile a gallon.
Exactly. You'd never see it.
You'd never see it.
Oh, no. I had this theory that it put all the strain on the alternator from the battery and, you know, it made the engine work harder. And
Kelly,
stop. You're hanging yourself. It's getting embarrassing now.
It was a great idea, but give it up. Just don't let him know that you called us. Don't say anything.
But
just continue to beat him up. Drive him crazy and see what kind of a husband that's going to give you.
But it is him.
Okay.
I feel very comfortable saying it's him. He's the one causing the problem.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, see, that was my stance from the beginning. He's the one causing the problem.
He's the one causing the problem, except it's for a different reason.
Yeah. Okay.
So you're half right.
It wasn't his back massager, it's his foot.
Okay.
Yeah, and I don't know what you can do about this. I think the way he drives is the way he drives.
Right.
Well, wait a minute now. When you're driving, when you stop for gasoline, who pays for the gas?
He does.
Okay, then let him drive any crazy way that he wants to.
Yeah, as long as he's not endangering anyone, he's good.
Okay, thanks, guys.
All right, Kelly.
Lots of luck.
Good luck.
All right, thanks.
See ya.
Wait a minute. Is that going to be a happy marriage?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Because she is a wonderful gal.
She really is.
Yeah, she's got a good attitude so
it
far.
It all depends.
28 miles a gallon.
It all depends on the woman, doesn't it?
I'll stay out of that one. 888-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hi, hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello.
Yeah.
This is Marshall from Tarboro, North Carolina.
Marshall.
I have a Jeep Grand Cherokee that when I hit the brakes and stop the car, 95% of the time, within 3 seconds, I hear a clunk as if some Nerf mobile has hit me in the back. And it's more of a sound than it is a feel.
Oh.
Oh, really?
And can you make the sound for us or describe it?
It is you stop the car and you count 1-100, 2-100, 3-100, clunk.
Oh, okay. But you don't
And you don't feel anything.
You don't you feel a little something?
I think I feel a little something. My wife thinks the car is lurching forward.
I think it's just doing its final downshift into first gear.
So it's okay for the car to clunk?
Oh, I didn't say it was okay. We were just trying to explain what it is. It may be an indication that the transmission is on the way out.
At 55,000 miles?
One never knows.
You bought the extended warranty, didn't you, Marshall?
No.
It's too bad.
Where does it sound like this clunk is coming from?
From the rear of the vehicle. as if some very small, maybe Mini Cooper, slightly hit you.
Yeah, a little kick in the seat.
Right.
Yeah,
and it's definitely from the back.
Definitely.
But you are completely stopped when this happens.
Yes, and it's a definitive 3-second delay.
Does it make a difference if it's a hard stop or a gentle stop?
I've tried that, and even with the gentle stop, I still get it.
So it makes no difference how fast you were going or how fast you decelerate. It's still the same 3-second wait.
Exactly.
Oh, Marshall, you're making it so hard. Mamma mia.
Don't buy another Jeep, eh?
See, I'm beginning to have doubts about the transmission answer.
Oh, I've had those doubts.
Well, what do you mean?
No. I mean, I liked it when you first said it, but it doesn't fit anymore.
3 seconds.
Man.
One Mississippi.
Two Mississippi.
Three Mississippi.
Clunk.
Anyone ever sat in the back and said anything about it?
No, we don't.
Has anyone else ever heard this noise?
Yes.
No, just checking.
My wife hears it. It's basically her vehicle, and she hears it.
I'm just wondering, if someone were sitting in the back seat, would they also say it's in the back?
Oh, definitely.
So it's behind them?
Yes. It's like at the rear center of the vehicle.
All right. Now, you've obviously taken this to the Jeep dealer and complained about it.
No.
Dude,
you were counting on us?
Yes.
Jeez.
I trust the Jeep dealer about as much as I trust my brother-in-law.
That's a long time, 3 seconds.
Yeah. It is a long time. I mean, you know, if it were a suspension component, it wouldn't wait that long.
Hold on a minute.
Well, Tommy's passing a brainstone.
Well, no, I just have a thought that since it is such a long time, I was trying to conjure up something that's moving forward. But since it's 3 seconds, I'm changing it to something that's moving backwards.
Well,
Isn't that a breakthrough? Isn't it?
I did have that thought.
You did?
Yeah.
So that you come to a stop, and then when the vehicle is resettling, boom.
Yeah, and you know what could do that?
What?
The gasoline in the tank. The gasoline moves forward. I mean, there are baffles in the tank which are supposed to prevent these kinds of noises from occurring.
It could be one loose.
Uh-huh.
Floating around inside the tank. All right, here's what you do. You're married?
Yes.
Strap your wife to the bottom of the car.
Good idea. She'll kill all three of us.
Oh, man.
Should I reduce the amount of gas in the car and try it?
I don't think it would make any difference.
Oh, you think it's just a loose baffle?
Well, here's
it's never happened.
But here's what you need to do.
It's never happened before, but it's always the first time.
You need to put it. You need to take it someplace and have them put it on the lift.
Uh-huh.
And run the thing and then step on the brakes and see if they can reproduce it on the lift.
Okay.
Okay, if they can, then it ain't the gas tank.
Okay.
Because you need the motion of the car to make that noise. But if they can reproduce it on the lift, they're going to have a shot at figuring out what it is.
Okay.
See, I don't think it can be any part of the brake system or the suspension. It's just the wait is too long.
Now, there's one other thing that I've noticed. Upon occasion, from a dead stop, I will let off of the brake to go forward, and I will hear it again.
As you're going forward?
Yes, but that doesn't happen every time. That's just occasional.
Oh, I like that. I like that.
It's the same clunk.
I like that. Is this a very heavy clunk or a tinkly?
It's a heavy, deep clunk.
A very heavy, deep clunk.
Right.
Boom. Boom.
Exactly.
Boom.
I'm going back to the transmission.
Okay.
I'm sticking with that.
Yeah, but this time you're going to say the transmission's falling out.
I haven't had the transmission, what do? Drain it and have them clean the pan or something?
Yeah, well, they're gonna drain your bank account, I think, when they get
That's
a hold of you.
We haven't done that yet. Should I try that? Because I think over 50,000 it was supposed to be done.
Well, you can certainly try that, and it'd be interesting to try it. It's a good thing to do regardless.
Right.
And it would be interesting to see if it changes it.
Okay.
Because it may make it better.
Okay.
And it may make it go away for a while. And boy, that would tell you something.
Yeah.
But I would have somebody put it up on whoever does this transmission fluid change,
yep.
Have this person run it up on the lift and see if he can figure out. Because you can run it on the lift and
all four wheels off the ground.
And engage the brakes.
Right. So if it doesn't do it then, it's possible it's something maybe in the a baffle in the gas tank.
Right. It could
but
be.
If
but
if it doesn't, then it's maybe in the transmission.
I think
if
so.
If it doesn't do it on the lift, it means it's a body part of some kind.
Okay.
Like an arm or a leg.
A leg, right. That's what I thought.
Oh, Marshall, that's a winner.
Well, I appreciate the advice.
Keep us posted.
I will.
Thanks for your call.
Sorry
Thank
we
you.
Couldn't help you, Marshall.
So am I.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Wow.
You know, I'm beginning to think it could be a suspension.
3 seconds is too long.
3 seconds is a long, long time.
Man, it doesn't make any sense. 3 seconds.
No.
Maybe we could talk him into 1 second.
Call him back. Yeah, I think we're going to accuse him of a quick count. Hey, there's no chance you remember last week's puzzler.
Of course I remember last week's puzzler. I thought it was an excellent puzzle, one of the very best that you have ever come up with. I remember every single aspect of it.
You don't remember a thing, do you?
Squat.
Well, interestingly, it was about a guy sawing logs. And we'll be back with the whole story and the answer in just a minute.
I've got these truck driver's blues, the kind you can't lose if you ain't driving. Through mountains and valleys and back into alleys too small. Man, I got these truck driver's blues, the kind you can't lose if you ain't moving. And hugging the white line and making you some kind of haul. No one to blame, 'cause I love the four-lane I'm on.
And even though the NPR landscaper takes a long, hard look at his wood chipper whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a dentist and want to remind your patients there are things more painful than a root canal.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says, listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and, of course, the answer to last week's puzzler. Now, you may recall that this puzzler was from the world of automobiles, physics, chemistry, social interactions, forestry, agriculture, and animal husbandry. As long as you don't get caught at it. Anyway, it was sent to us by a fellow named, I think, Dan Scribner from Rock Hill, New York. And here it is.
Nice going, Dan. Nice going.
One crisp autumn day, a farmer neighbor of mine asked for a hand laying in his supply of firewood for the coming winter. And you know that it's authentic because... Yeah. Laying in.
Yeah. You know. Only farmers lay
exactly.
in.
Well, anyway, standing next to his woodshed was this ancient circular saw which he used to cut logs to stove length. The saw was driven by a wide leather belt. You know, you've probably seen these at places like, what do they call that? Colonial Williamsburg or, you know, yeah. Plymouth Plantation and the like. And the belt looped from a wide pulley on the saw to another pulley which eventually got attached to something called a power takeoff, which was attached to his equally ancient Jeep. Now, just as a matter of historical perspective here, for those of you who don't know what a power takeoff is, most farm or work vehicles have an auxiliary shaft coming out of the transmission that can be used to power something other than the car. And in this case, it would deliver the engine's power through the transmission to the old saw and, you know, and the leather belt yeah. driving the saw.
Yeah, that's like
anyway,
having a little motor.
Exactly, except you've got the little motor. It's under the hood of the Jeep, and you're using it to drive the saw.
Exactly.
Anyway, as he was maneuvering the Jeep into position, he asked if I could run back to the barn and bring back his large crowbar. Now, the barn was about a mile down the hill, and I had to walk back with this 20-pound crowbar on my shoulder, but I obliged because he's my neighbor, and I was hoping to hit him up for some free firewood afterwards, you know. Sure. Anyway, by the time I got back, he had maneuvered the Jeep into the proper position, so I took the crowbar and kind of stuck it into the ground and leaned it against the tailgate. He chalked the wheels, lined up the pulley, started the engine, and engaged the power takeoff. The saw started to hum. He cuts up all of his firewood, and at the end of the day, we're picking up our tools. And I remarked that we hadn't needed the crowbar after all. Don't forget, he'd asked me to get this thing. I'd walked all the way down the hill for this old geezer, found it in the barn, cobwebs, spiders, you know, everything like that, lugged it back, and he says, oh, no, you're wrong. The crowbar was used.
Yeah.
In fact, it was essential to the operation. Had we not had it, we wouldn't have been able to do what we did. And I said, huh? So the question was, what was the crowbar for? And then he gave me this hint. My neighbor said he'd forgotten to bring the crowbar once and he would never make that mistake again.
Yeah.
So the question was, what the heck is going on here?
I got it.
You got it?
He had to take a wicked haircut.
Oh, really?
And he was embarrassed to do it in the presence of this guy.
So he sent him to get the crowbar. Well.
How's that?
Well, that would have sped up the operation, certainly. Well, you don't know how close you were. Now, there were lots of hints, you know, the dry autumn air, the power takeoff, the saw, the leather belt.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the dry autumn air, the Jeep, which, of course, is insulated from the ground by rubber tires.
I've got it.
Would pick up a static charge from the spinning leather belt.
You bet.
And if not discharged through the crowbar, the Jeep would get so charged up with electricity that when you touched it, you'd get knocked on your keister by 50 or 100 or 150,000 volts of static electricity. So it was essential, and we would not have been able to do what we did without it.
Of course.
And it just so happened by sticking it into the ground and leaning it against the Jeep, which is metal.
He had unwittingly,
put
it exactly where it had to be.
Right. The farmer couldn't have put it in. When he saw it in that spot, he said, oh, perfect. I guess I don't have to move it.
Yeah.
So who's our winner?
Whew. That was a beauty. And the winner this week is Matt Lewis from Santa Fe, New Mexico. And for having his answer selected at random from all the correct answers that we got, Matt's going to get a $26 gift certificate to our Shameless Commerce division at CarTalk.com, with which he can get our solid brass, more or less, old-fashioned tire gauge with a real classic old-style round pressure dial and a sturdy separate hose. Perfect for letting you know when you need to find a llantería. Yeah,
exactly.
That's good.
Anyway, we'll have a brand new, much shorter puzzler coming up in the third half of the show. But if you have a question for us right now, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Kelly. I'm calling from Boise, Idaho.
Hi, Kelly.
What's up?
I have a 2000 Subaru Legacy station wagon, and my speed wheel sensor for my anti-lock brake system is blown out. And I'm trying to find out, is this something I did when I veered off the road and hit a curb? Or could it have happened when I had some people work on my car and replace my tires?
Yes.
What would you like it to be? By the way, you have four of these sensors.
Not anymore.
Well,
right.
You started out with four.
From what I understand now,
I have three.
But do you know that it's the one where the collision was?
Well,
or the incident?
Apparently it is. I had it, the tires changed about 2 months later, and that was the time that the light went off that indicated my anti-lock brake system no longer worked.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm wondering, if they could have messed it up when they changed my tires, or when I hit the curb, could it have done it?
The answer is yes.
I think it's much more likely that you did it.
Okay, well then why didn't the light go off right when I hit the curb?
Well, it could have to do with nothing. You know, it could have been... That sensor is pretty well protected because it does figure that people are going to do knucklehead things like drive into curbs and whatnot. And that sensor is in a rather invulnerable location. In other words, to damage this thing, you would have had to wreck everything else, which you didn't do.
Well, I did bend the rim of my tire
and wound up
screwing up my alignment, and I drove that way for like 500 miles. And then my mom came to visit and said that everything was messed up in my car, and she's the one that got new tires put on it.
And she paid for it.
She did. She's so nice.
I know.
Yeah, you gotta worry about your kids, you know, because they're hopeless.
Who's worrying about us? That's what I want to know. Well,
it could be anything.
It could be nothing. I don't think you can blame it on the tire guys.
Oh, really?
Because I don't think they could have done anything to unplug this thing or to damage it, really.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's possible that when you hit the curb, something happened but it wasn't devastating.
Yeah.
And that when they took off the wheel, they helped it. But the damage was really already done.
Well, I'll give you an example. When my brother was six, my dad dropped him down a flight of stairs. I mean, not on purpose. It was an accident. He was holding him. Tommy was squirming. And next thing you know, ba-da-bum, 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 and he's at the bottom of the stairs.
And there was nothing obvious.
Nothing obvious for 50 years. So there you go. If that comforts you at all, Kelly, you know, that's how things happen sometimes. So
I mean, you can blame them if you want, and they might just fix it for you.
Well, they're the ones that brought it up. They said, gosh, we don't know why that light went on. Take it to your dealer and see what they say. Well, my dealer said that they didn't think it had anything to do with the tires being changed, but I wasn't convinced until I got your opinion.
Oh, so it's already been replaced.
Well, no, I haven't replaced it yet.
Well, why didn't they fix it if they were looking at it?
Because they didn't have the part in stock.
Oh, and it was 200 and something bucks.
Yeah, well, with labor, it's going to cost $350.
Yowza. Well,
that's
you need to fix it, though, because you won't have anti-lock brakes otherwise.
Yeah, I'm thinking I'm going to wait until the fall or winter, though.
Yeah, wait until the weather gets more dangerous.
Yeah.
There you go. Good luck, Kel.
Thank you.
Let us know when you're on the road
don't
so we can
wait.
Stay home.
I don't think you should wait.
Okay.
No, I mean, come on.
When's Mom coming to visit again?
I don't know. Maybe this summer.
Well, you might be in luck. Make sure she drives it.
I mean, anti-lock brakes are a nice thing to have, and they could save your life.
Call your mother.
I mean,
in fact, give us her number. We'll call her.
I don't know if she would appreciate that.
She probably wouldn't.
Put it on your charge car. You can pay $11 a week. $11 a month, rather. See you, Kel.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, you know what time it is?
Time to give up wrong answers for Lent?
No, that's not a bad idea, though. It's time to play Stump the Chumps! This is the part of the show where we check in on a previous caller and find out whether our answer gave him courage, solace, spiritual inspiration,
or just Arjuna. So who's our supplicant this week?
It's Eddie from New Hampshire.
Fast Eddie from the land of live free or die.
Oh, die young. That's him. It says here, Eddie had a Ford.
Oh, must have been a pickup truck, right? It's mandatory in New Hampshire.
Of course. I mean, everyone in New Hampshire has a pickup truck. And it wouldn't start. And after a succession of rapid-fire penetrating questions, we were able to ascertain that the truck had an automatic transmission. Now, that's detective work, huh?
Oh, yeah, Dick Tracy. So we narrowed it down to a couple of possible culprits. Energized.
Because it's either, in this case, the neutral safety switch or the ignition switch itself.
But if I get power to the solenoid, to that thin wire...
That means it's not the ignition switch.
And it's not the neutral safety switch. And in that case, it's the solenoid.
It's the solenoid.
Yeah, the solenoid only costs $7. You might as well try one of those first.
All right, maybe
I'll... Or if you really trust yourself, you can bypass the neutral safety
switch. It's a very dangerous thing to do. But in New Hampshire, you'll find anyone to do that for. I shouldn't have said that. That was cruel
and unwarranted. It wasn't unwarranted, but it was cruel.
See you, Eddie.
Funny, no one ever uses the expression kind and unwarranted, do they?
So let's find out how we did. Eddie, are you there?
I'm here.
Look at Eddie. Before we find out whether our advice was cruel and unwarranted, or just unwarranted, we need to verify that the answer you're about to give here on Stump the Chumps has not been influenced by our staff or the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to New Hampshireites. Is that true?
That is absolutely true.
All right. So were we on the right track with the neutral safety switch and the solenoid? What do you think?
As we say in woodshop, you hit the nail right on the head.
Oh, man! So really?
I replaced the solenoid, and since then, boom.
Did it cost you $7?
A little bit more, $17.04.
Really?
Well, that's the import taxes.
Oh, in New Hampshire, right.
No taxes. This isn't Massachusetts.
No, the taxes are added on before the products get to New Hampshire.
Oh, is that what that was?
Yeah, you guys think you're not paying taxes, but you really are. That's $7 here in Massachusetts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for playing Stump the Chumps, Eddie.
Okay, guys. Nice talking with
you. Take it easy.
All right.
And we'd like to remind our other listeners that if you happen to hear someone on the show that you'd like us to bring back for this little Stump the Chumps portion of the show, email us with your suggestion from cartalk.com.
Or give us a call here at 888-CAR-TALK, and maybe you can stump the chumps right now.
It's not that hard, you know. Anyone can do it.
Anyway, the number is 888-82-27-82-55. Hi! Hello, you're on Car Talk.
I love it. What was it? 88, 82, 27, 82, 55.
That's it. Hike.
How can that be? That's 10 digits.
Yeah.
7 and 3 is 10.
Son of a
Sonia Henny's tutu.
Hello, who's this?
Hi, this is Zelda in Denver.
Hi, Zelda.
Zelda.
Hi, were you?
I don't think I've ever met a Zelda.
Well, we're a unique breed.
The only Zelda I remember was from the Dobie Gillis show. Anyway, what's going on?
Well, we have a marital dispute.
Oh,
and
really?
I know you love these.
Yeah, oh, well. Yeah. My brother's good at even starting.
Okay, well, my husband is 34 years older than I am, so he's maybe working with some outdated technology
34
knowledge.
34 years older than you are?
Yeah, I'm a child bride.
You certainly are.
So, well, we'll get to the nitty-gritty stuff in a while. What's the nature of the dispute?
Well, I drove a stick shift for years and years and years, and whenever I parked the car, I always put the parking brake on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't drive a stick anymore. I have a 2004 Honda CR-V. But I still, when I park, I put the brake on, just force of habit. So with all this cold and snow and everything that we've been having out here, and then it melts and we drive through puddles of ice water, I pulled into the garage, put the brake on, and he said to me, no, you shouldn't do that. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, why not? And he said, well, because the whole mechanism can freeze, the calipers, the hydraulics, the whole bit, it's all going to freeze. And the next time you get in the car and release the brake, it's not going to release and you're not going to go anywhere. And I told him he was full of crap.
Well, he's half full.
And so we talked about it, and I said, well, we'll just call the car guys.
Yeah.
Oh, was the discussion heated?
Well, not really.
Is your garage heated?
No.
Well, I suppose under the right conditions, and I mean if you had a slushy, you know, above freezing temperatures, slightly above, and all of the stuff could build up on the underside of the car. And
then it gets very cold.
And then you get a deep freeze, you know, the temperature drops 10 or 15 degrees. Yeah, sure, the stuff could freeze.
He was a little bit over, but basically he's got it right.
Darn.
Oh.
No. I mean, he is right, but it's not a big deal.
And the fact of the matter is that the chances of it happening are very, very small.
Oh, good.
Especially since you're parking in the garage.
Well, if the garage isn't heated, it could happen. I mean, it probably is cold out in the garage as it is outside.
Well, the bottled water and the cans of soda and stuff don't freeze.
Oh, in which case, ignore him.
Oh, good.
See, yeah.
Well, see, he used to run Hooch in a 1939 Hudson Hornet. So that's where his knowledge is coming
well,
from.
Well, he's old enough, so he's probably going to forget that he even mentioned this. Right?
Well, that's possible, too.
Yeah.
So now, do I have to buy dinner, or does he have to buy me a significant jewel or gemstone?
I think he needs to buy you a significant gemstone.
Oh, good.
So anyway, I mean, how did you find this old geezer?
I met him in a cheap, sleazy bar. We have a friend who's a musician, and so we met through this mutual friend who happened to be performing in that cheap, sleazy bar.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, how long have you been married?
15 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
That's wonderful.
He's 82.
He's 82.
Good for him.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Gee, I'm a lot younger than that, and my wife dumped me already.
Wives.
My wives dumped me already. Right.
Well, Zelda, I'm sure that you will resolve this amicably. I mean, technically, I suppose he's right, but practically speaking, you're right.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good.
So you can buy each other dinner.
Maybe I'll even buy him a little gemstone.
There you go.
Absolutely.
See you later.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, look, it's time for us to take a little break, wouldn't you say?
This is because our local stations have things they need to do, right?
Yeah, like create a distraction so the embarrassed staff can slip out the back wearing hockey masks. We'll be back in just a minute with a brand new automotive puzzler and more of your car questions, so please stay tuned.
What's that cooking? It sure smells good. Let me check under the hood. Now it ain't roadkill, not that that's bad. I just threw together whatever I had. Wrap it in foil, set it on a block. 50 miles later and it's good and hot. But I'm cooking dinner on the engine of my car every year. There you are, when I'm cooking dinner.
even though castle guards pull up the drawbridge and light the flaming arrows whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler. And I this is automotive?
Automotive, you said. That's right. And I can hardly wait.
Well, here it is.
Yeah.
The other day, I had to go to my buddy Pete's repair shop. Early in the morning, I was returning a tool
that you had borrowed 2 years ago.
Well, something like that. And I was there fairly early in the morning, and it wasn't very busy at his shop. In fact, there were only two vehicles there. One was on the lift and obviously getting an oil change, and the other one was parked in the bay next to the lift, and it had two flat tires in the front. Both tires in the front were flat, and I said to Pete, I said, huh. I said, what happened to that thing? Did it fall off the tow truck when it came in? And he said, oh, no, nothing like that. Jerry's replacing the water pump. And I said, oh, of course. And the question is, what the heck is going on here? You know, if you think you know the answer, write it on a set of a Miauchi Galaxy 141 high-powered binoculars.
Oh, yeah.
With wide-field 66-degree interchangeable eyepieces, five-element fluorite apochromatic objectives, finder-scope, fork mount, and, of course, tripod.
Yeah.
And ship to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 35. Who comes up with this stuff? Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our Fair City.
Matt 02238, apochromatic objectives.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
But right now, if you have a car question for us, we're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is David from Portland, Oregon.
Hey, David, what's up?
Oh, hey, I have hopefully a doozy for you. I own a Volvo. It's a 2004 V70.
Uh-huh.
And so for about the last 9 months, I've had an issue with my power steering. So when I'm driving it, it makes a sound, zzz, turning to the right or zzz, turning to the left. But it's I've taken it to my trusted mechanic, and he's replaced the power steering pump once,
uh-huh.
and the sound didn't go away. He said, well, it must be malfunctioned. So he replaced the second one, and before I even got home, it was the same zzz sound. So I'm calling you guys to help me understand what it could be.
Well, it's possible that any noise that's made anywhere in the power steering system is going to travel through the fluid because there is a connection through which noises can get telegraphed, and that connection is the fluid, because the fluid runs from the pump to the rack. And I'd be willing to bet that, in fact, the noise isn't coming from the power steering pump at all. Lucky guess, huh?
You think it's coming from the rack.
I don't think it's coming from the rack either.
You don't?
No, I don't think there's anything. No, racks don't make that kind of noise, but I'd be willing to bet the noise is coming from a seized tie rod end.
I can't even say that.
It's hard to say. I had to go to school.
Seized
tie rod end. The tie rod ends are attached to the rack and pinion, and there's a tie rod end attached to each of the steering knuckles. That is the part at the wheel.
The front wheels.
And the steering knuckles, when they move, allow the wheels to go left and right. So when you turn the steering wheel inside the car, the rack and pinion moves left to right. The tie rod ends are at the very end of the rack and attached to the wheel, so to speak. And when they move left and right, they have to pivot because it's a ball and socket joint in that tie rod end.
So,
and if that grease is dried out, okay, and the ball and socket is not moving freely, you'll get a
So the seized tie rod, that sounds expensive. What do
you
think?
It's a heck of a lot cheaper than a rack, and certainly a lot cheaper than a pump. You know,
wow.
The tie rod ends are less than, they're a couple hundred bucks. Have him check that out, and while he's at it, he can check the rack too.
Yeah.
But it doesn't affect in any way how the thing steers. Everything is fine?
Yeah, everything else is it works just great, other than just an annoying sound.
Yeah, well, give it a shot.
That sounds good.
Good
Thank
luck.
You.
All right, David.
All right.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Debbie, and I'm from Sacramento.
Hi, Debbie. What's going on?
Debbie, you have such an uplifting kind of voice.
Yeah, you're wide awake, too.
You're wide awake.
Unlike us.
Where'd you say you were from?
Sacramento, California.
Why wasn't I paying attention?
Because you were too busy laughing. Anyway, what's happening, Debbie?
Well, I drive a 2000 Mustang.
Uh-huh.
And it has around what you're going to make a comment, aren't you?
No. But I was going to ask you, is it a convertible?
No, it's not.
Why would you bother having a Mustang and not make it a convertible?
In sunny California, no less.
Yeah, I mean, a Mustang has got nothing going for it except the top goes down.
Well, too late for that. But we may be able to help you in that department. Go ahead.
It has around 90,000 miles on it.
Uh-huh.
And when I step on the clutch, it's making, and it's only when I'm driving and I step on the clutch, it makes like a whee sound. And it's only when I'm going and switching gears. And it goes when I press down and when I release.
Right, but it doesn't do it when you just stopped at a light, for example.
Exactly. And then the weird thing is I went away for around 2 weeks, and so it was in the garage. And when I came back, it still does it, but not every single time.
But this noise comes when you are depressing the clutch to change gear. So, for example, you're going along at 35 miles an hour, and you're shifting from second to third.
And you put your foot on the clutch and push it down. And as you push it down,
you get this, make the noise for us.
It's sort of like a whistle. It's like,
You want the bad news now, or you want to just laugh for a few more minutes? Because you're in such a good mood, I hate to destroy it.
Yeah, he's going to ruin your day.
What's happening is the clutch release bearing is giving up. And the reason it doesn't do it when you stopped at a light is that the engine is running at a very low speed when you're at a traffic light. And when you engage this bearing by stepping on the clutch, it's also turning at a very slow speed. And the little balls in there that are making this wee noise that you hear aren't going fast enough to reverberate inside their little cage and make that noise. But when you get the engine up at 2, 3, 4,000 RPM and you're changing gears, that's when you get the noise.
Yeah, and I have to say, it's not as terrible as it sounds.
Well,
because it's relatively easy to fix.
Well, you're going to take the transmission out.
Relatively. You're going to take the transmission out, but that's a piece of cake. You don't have to take the clutch all apart.
Well, with 90,000 miles on it, I think I'd put a new clutch in. So we just changed this from a $100 job
to $500.
Yeah, no, this is good. If you're going to put a clutch
in. And she's still laughing.
you can't just put any clutch in. If you're driving a Mustang, you've got to have a heavy-duty clutch, right? I mean, why go for the standard equipment thing? You got to go heavy-duty. So it's going to cost you $1,000. Debbie? You got the smelling salts.
No, I told my husband it was nothing, that we can ignore it.
Well, I would.
Well, you can't ignore it, until the noise starts to drive you crazy. At some point, that one of those bearings, maybe the offending ball that's in there that's making the noise, will turn into dust.
And it'll stop making noise.
And the noise will stop until that dust attacks the next ball on the line and turns that one into dust, et cetera.
But
and
this could take months.
Years, even.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
But what are you going to do now? Let me just see if you've been paying attention. What are you going to do now?
I'm going to take it to the shop and see how much life is left on my clutch.
You were paying attention. And I thought you were just laughing.
Long life, ignore it.
Exactly. Very
Debbie,
good.
It's been a pleasure talking to you.
You get a gold star, Debbie.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
See you later. Bye.
You know, we had a customer at the shop.
Why was she laughing so much?
I don't know. We had this guy named Heavy Duty. We nicknamed him Heavy Duty. And whenever
what was his real name? Does anyone know?
It was Anthony something or other. I've been racking
Anthony.
Trying to remember his last name. Tony. And anyway, whenever a part was replaced, no matter what it was,
give me heavy
he
duty.
Said, I don't want that cheap stuff. I need a new set of points. I want the heavy-duty points. I said, they make heavy-duty points. Well, that's what I want. I want a heavy-duty air cleaner. Well, okay. And he needed a new clutch in his car, and he said, don't give me that cheap, junk, original equipment stuff. I want heavy-duty.
Heavy-duty clutch.
So we go out, we buy the advertisement on the box said, the clutch that conquered Mount Kilimanjaro. I don't know what that meant. And we installed it in his thing, and we told him, look, you got to come back in about a month so we can adjust it for you. And he shows up, and I noticed he's about 5 inches taller. I said, Tony, boy, what happened to you? You've been taking some kind of growth hormones? And he said, no. I looked down at his feet. and he's wearing these platform shoes that are about 5 inches thick. He said, the clutch is killing my foot. I can't drive it anymore. I'm never going heavy duty again.
He deserved everything he got.
But the name stuck. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Warren from San Francisco.
Hey, Warren, what's going on?
I have a philosophical question for you.
Boy. Oh, that's what we
need. Is it ethical, too?
Ethical as well.
Jeez, all right.
Okay.
Go ahead, man.
You want to take the philosophical or the ethical part?
For the last 2 months, I've been borrowing a buddy's car for 2 weeks out of four.
Oh.
It's a 93 Camry with about 150,000 miles on it.
Mm-hmm.
And on a dark and stormy night, I was driving the car home, and the tachometer started dipping and dipping. And when I got to a red light, the car stalled.
Uh-huh.
And it wouldn't start.
It wouldn't start. It'll crank, but it won't turn over.
Yeah, I know.
So I had it towed to the dealer where it is now.
And they told you the timing belt broke.
They haven't told me anything, nor have I told my friend about the problem.
So your friend thinks you're still driving it. You just needed it for an extra few days.
So is this the philosophical or the ethical part of the question?
He's been really nice to let me use a car for free.
Yeah.
So do I simply repair it and not tell him? Do I tell him and expect him to pay for all the repairs?
Well, it would be nice to know what's wrong with it.
Well, right, exactly.
I mean, if it really is the timing belt.
Yeah, I think it's worse than the timing belt, because as I was driving, the tachometer was dipping and dipping, and I could push gas, and it would go back up, and the idiot lights would start flickering. But when I got to that last red light, it just died.
I don't think it is a timing light.
It was a dark and stormy night, you said.
Oh.
It was raining.
Hail and everything.
Oh, no.
It's not the timing belt.
So how long has it been at the dealership?
2 days.
Okay, so they haven't had a chance to look at it. I mean, I'm sure
it's not going to be hundreds of dollars.
No, it's probably going to be thousands.
I don't think so.
What's the threshold?
Well, here's the deal.
We're going to make up a rule here?
It's going to be like a battlefield decision.
Yeah.
I mean, you borrowed the car with what understanding? With no understanding. He said, Warren, you use my car.
Generally, he gets a tank of gas and a bottle of wine for each week that I borrow it.
Is it a bottle of wine or a box of wine? Because there's a big difference, you know.
Sometimes it's even scotch.
Sometimes it's scotch. And he's been satisfied with that arrangement.
More than satisfied.
More than satisfied.
Now, he knows that with a car with this many miles on it, that anything could happen at any time.
Yeah. I mean, most things like this have happened because the car has a lot of miles on it. So whatever it is that has broken or worn out has happened over 150,000 miles. So for you to pay the whole thing doesn't make any sense.
For example, let's say the timing belt did break and it was supposed to have been replaced at 120,000 miles and it didn't get replaced. Well, that shouldn't be your fault. On the other hand, if he blames you because you were behind the wheel, even though that would be, that would be unfair, it might mean the end of this wonderful relationship you've had. And this
may be the time to end it. I mean, for example, if my brother had been borrowing my car, we would find that this was an ideal opportunity to split up and never speak to each other again.
Exactly.
Well, the tow truck driver who was banging on the fuel tank diagnosed it in the rain as either a distributor or a fuel pump problem.
I like the fuel pump problem.
Well, in all the years that we've worked on Camrys,
I have never, ever once
replaced a fuel pump. And we've worked on thousands of Camrys.
But it certainly does have the symptoms of a fuel pump.
But it more likely has the symptom, considering it was a dark and stormy, rainy night.
Yeah.
It could easily be that the distributor cap and the wires got
all wet. I like that.
And that's what killed it.
If it really was a dark and stormy night, I'm with my brother on this
one. And here's what happened, I'm going to guess, is they went out to start your car the next day when it stopped raining, and it started right up, and they haven't come up with a good enough lie yet. And that's why they haven't called you. You know, so here's what I would do. I would go with
the other key.
No, tell them you left something in the car and see if it starts.
Okay.
I'll bet it will. I think it'll run like a dream.
And
then say nothing?
Well, no, and then you can tell the whole story and tell your friend how you rescued the car, you know, like it was a midnight raid. You went there dressed in, you know, camouflage gear and all that, and you stole the car back from the dealership, and you went out and bought a set of spark plug wires with your own money and put them on the car, and now it runs great. And you're not getting the bottle of scotch this week. But I don't think you have any ethical issues here. I think because it was not your wrongdoing, you could reasonably expect him to pay for the repair if it's a big one.
All right.
All right. Let us know, man. We're dying to know if it starts up. I'm betting that it does.
Okay.
All right. Good luck, man. See you later.
Thanks.
Next time, try to make this arrangement with someone who has a newer car. See you, Warren.
All right.
Bye-bye.
People with newer cars don't lend them to people.
That's true. Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Britchford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our interns are Ariel Niedermeyer and Kara McKnight. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisors just back from the New York Roast Pork Breaded Stork, Sliced Orc, and Wine Cork Tour de Fork is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our staff orthopedist is Denise Hoyt. Our wardrobe advisor is Luke Howard Fitzhugh. Our PowerPoint producer is Boris Tadef. Our fleet maintenance manager is Renata Oil. Our accounts receivable supervisor from the Mumbai office is Vishnu Payup. Our office ice cream tester is Nora Morse. Our director of Puzzler Answer Luxury Gift Reception is Donatella Du Bois. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. And the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Louis Dewey, known to the returning migratory chess players in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And
don't drive like my brother.
Oh, you took my line.
That's right.
I'll take yours then. Yeah. Don't drive like my brother. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1209, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, all about first cars.
How to buy your first car and lots of stories of people's first cars.
Well, my first car was Dad's 32 Chevy.
Yeah, and you ran it out of oil. You know, it was a premonition of heaps to come. So check out people's stories of their first cars and add your own, presented and animated by our sponsor, Subaru, over at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though endangered species say, you know, on second thought, take me off that protected list, whatever they hear us say it, this is NPR.